Thank you, Zachary. Thank you for everyone for coming out on such a rather warm evening. I might not use all the time allotted, so you'll be glad to hear that one. Let us pray. Our precious Lord and Heavenly Father, again we continue in your presence this evening. We thank you that we can gather together like this for the measure of health and strength that you have given us. The desire that we have to come under the sound of your word, Father, our prayer tonight is that they hear none of me, but all of you. Father, may we, as we look to pages of Scripture, see Christ in every one of them. May we see him in everything that we discuss, everything that we think of. May our thoughts be focused on him and him alone. Father, as we seek to become more like Christ, Father, help us, we pray. Father, help us to heed your Spirit speaking to each and every one of us. Father, may this be a word of encouragement, but indeed a word of challenge and blessing too as well. We ask this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you all for coming out on such a glorious evening.
It is rather warm.
So, I should have worn my shorts. A few weeks ago, I think it was one of the Hinchelwoods that was speaking, he said a phrase and it really stuck in my head, and this is where this comes from. And it's really been speaking to me over the last couple of weeks. And we touched on some of it this morning in our morning service and the passages we read. We touched on it in one of the songs that Zachary had picked tonight, In Christ Alone. And the phrase that stuck in my head was this, that our conduct should characterize our identity. Our conduct should fit our identity. Identity is an interesting thing. Looking for some more eloquent quotes, far more than I could come up with, I found these ones from some fairly weighty characters. The first one, Abraham Lincoln. He said this, "Character is like a tree and reputation like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it, but the tree is the real thing." And for those of you not quite up on your American basketball, this was one of their coaches. He said this, "Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are." Two very influential characters. But let's move it up a notch. Dwight L. Moody. "Character is what you are in the dark." C.H. Spurgeon. "A good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you when forget-me-nots have withered. Carve your name on hearts, not on marble." Character over reputation. "For we do not work to gain acceptance with God. As Christians, we live from the acceptance already given to us in Christ Jesus." And tonight, I want to look at 4 points. I've done my best to alliterate them. Our position promised. What does in Christ mean? Position promised. Our position perfected. What is our new position before God? Positions, privileges. What are the privileges of our position? Couldn't get anything better than that. Sorry. And the last one, our position practiced, to live out our position. Here's a question. If someone stopped you in the street and said, "Who are you?" what would your answer be? Most people, indeed most Christians, when they answer this question, would probably say, "Well, I work as a doctor, I work as a nurse, I work as a bricklayer." Or they might say their family role. Or they might say, "I'm Scottish or British." Or you might answer with your personality, what type of person you are. But yet, when we look at scriptures, our primary answer to our primary identity is this, that we are in Christ. Our primary identity as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is in Christ. The phrase, if you thumb through scripture, doesn't take you long to find them. The phrase "in Christ" or "in Him" or "in the Lord" or "with Christ" appear well over 100 times, nearly 200 times actually, in the New Testament. And our journey as Christians begins and continues with understanding what God says is true about us, who we actually are, the truth of us in Christ. Our main verse for this evening, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. The verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, but let's go for context. Verse 16. In fact, let's read earlier on. Let's go from verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. "For Christ's love compels us, not because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Verse 16, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." Verse 17, this is our text for this evening. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Our first point, our first thought, what does "in Christ" mean? Our position promised. Simply put, it means to be united with Christ. For at our salvation, that moment when we confessed with our hearts and our souls that Christ was Lord, we were united with Christ. Not merely followers of him, but joined to him spiritually. And we're given illustrations to try and wrap our head around that. Jesus himself said, "Think about the vine and the branches." In John 15, we read, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. We are joined to him. We are connected with him. Because everything we possess spiritually comes because we are connected to Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we read it today. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." as we gather around Scripture this evening, and even in the earlier part of the day, when we come to remember him and worship him, we come to give our praise and worship to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. But note the extent of the blessing. It's not a blessing. It's not some blessings. It's not future blessings. Rather, every spiritual blessing in Christ. For as Christians, to be in Christ is to be united with Jesus by faith so completely that his death becomes our death to sin. His resurrection becomes our new life. His righteousness becomes our standing before God. And his Spirit becomes the power by which we live until we are with him forever. And this places Christ at the very center, the very midpoint of our salvation. For we're not saved by Christ merely in some detached sense. We are saved because we are in Christ, sharing in all that he accomplished through his death, resurrection, and his life, his ongoing reign as well. And it's a wonderful thing to realize this simple truth, but quite profound. The truth of our promised position, that you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are in Christ. What a marvelous thing. And as we move on to consider our second point, as we consider this new position that we find ourselves in, our new position before God, our position perfected, we need to take a few minutes to actually think what that actually means, the extent of that. As we think back in our own lives and what we've done, some good, some not so good, but yet, as believers, saved by his grace and mercy, we are found in Christ. Our position is made perfect. We need to understand that because of that, firstly, we are justified. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified. Justification, God declaring the believer righteous because of Christ. Not seeing our sinful nature. Not seeing the sins that we have done. But seeing Christ. Let me emphasize that God does not declare the believer righteous because of good works. God does not declare the believer righteous because of church attendance. God does not declare the believer righteous because of religious devotion or charitable giving. All these things are good, but rather God declares the believer righteous because of Christ's righteousness. Because of Christ's righteousness. Picture a courtroom. The guilty person stands condemned. The jury of peers has agreed that the individual is guilty beyond any shadow of a doubt. But the judge, as he gives his decision, the words come out his mouth and everyone's astounded. Not guilty. That's justification. You and I, as believers in Christ, have been justified through faith, justified because of Christ's righteousness. not because of anything that we've done, not because of any good works that we could ever do, but because of Christ. We are justified. But secondly, we are adopted. Justified. Adopted. Ephesians 1 and 5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. We are not merely forgiven criminals. We are welcomed children. Just take a minute to let the enormity, the significance of that actually sink in. We're not merely forgiven criminals. We are welcomed as children. In Romans 8:15, the verse says, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." God is now our Father, our Heavenly Father. Just as we have been justified, just as we have been adopted, I want you to grasp the fact that we are accepted. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and goodwill, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." We are accepted. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are accepted because Christ is accepted. God's love for us rests upon our union with his Son. And the fact that we are justified and that we're adopted and that we're accepted, if that doesn't fill you with great and immeasurable joy and the desire to worship him, see now that we are seated with Christ. Ephesians 2:6, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Spiritually speaking, our position is already secure in heaven. It speaks to us of security, of authority, of belonging. Because realizing that we as Christians, that we are in Christ, and what that new position means to us, let us consider our third point, our position's privileges. Because being found in Christ is a wonderful place to be. It comes with many benefits, with many privileges. Firstly, you'll see we are forgiven. Colossians chapter 2, "He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." We are forgiven. He forgave us all our sins. Not some sins, not most sins, all sins. Past, present, future. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. What a privilege that is, to stand before a holy God knowing that we are forgiven. To find ourselves forgiven is incredible in itself. But not just that. One step further. Realize that we are no longer condemned. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. What a privilege our position affords. Condemnation and conviction are different. Conviction draws us back to God, but condemnation drives us away from God. We have so many privileges of being found in Christ. But there's more. We are forgiven all sins. We are no longer condemned. But we also have direct access to God. Ephesians 2, verse 18, "For through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit." For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. For through him, direct access to a holy God. We're reminded in Scripture to approach with boldness, with confidence, with freedom. For the believer in Christ doesn't need a priest. On an earthly sense, we have a great high priest. The believer doesn't need special status. For being found in Christ, we have both a mediator and an advocate. 1 Timothy 2 and 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." In Christ, we are both a mediator and an advocate. 1 John 2 and 1, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous one." Christ has opened the way. We're forgiven. In Christ, we are no longer condemned. In Christ, we have direct access to God. And in Christ, the next privilege is this, that we are secure. John chapter 10, 28-29, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Our security rests in Christ's grip on us. In Christ we are given eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's you and I. No one will snatch us out of his hand. You can't get any more secure than that. Our security rests on Christ's grip on us. In realizing that we as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, realizing that we are in Christ, realizing what that new position means, realizing what the privilege of that position means, realizing what that position affords, let's consider living out that position. As we try and gain a slightly deeper understanding, and I'm so aware that this is merely scraping the surface of this, it's a wonderful study to consider. As we scratch the surface, as we try and get a better understanding of our position as believers in Christ Jesus, it should transform our practice. It should transform our practice. Simply put, because we are holy, we pursue holiness. Because we are holy, we pursue holiness. Colossians 3:12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And that verse Paul does not say that we should become holy. I'll read it again. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Paul says clearly that we, as God's chosen people, that we are holy and should therefore live accordingly. So because we are holiness, we pursue, because we are holy, we pursue holiness. And then following on from that point, we can say that because we are dead to sin, we resist sin. Romans 6:11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dead to sin. Sin is no longer our master. But we still may struggle. And struggle we often do. But our identity has changed. Because we are holy, we pursue holiness. Because we are dead to sin, we resist sin. And it leads us on to our next point. Because we are children, we trust our Father. Because we are children, we trust our Father. Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Because we are children, we trust our Father. Children trust. Children depend. Children approach confidently. Because we are holy, we pursue holiness. Because we are dead to sin, we resist sin. Because we are children, we trust our Father. And lastly, because we are ambassadors, we represent Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. What a position. Christ's ambassadors, as through God we're making his appeal through us. Christ's ambassadors. Our position as believers in Christ carries immense responsibility. We don't just represent Christ on a Sunday from 10:30 till 1:45 and 6:30 to 7:30. We don't just represent Christ on a Sunday or maybe on a Wednesday. As believers in Christ Jesus, we are in Christ at work, at home, in society, in the church, in the very mundane things of life. We represent Christ. Christ should be seen in all that we do. The very marrow of our bones. Think of this and how you would complete this in your own mind. Complete this sentence. Because I am in Christ, dot, 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 dot. Because I am in Christ, blank. How would you answer that question? Hopefully, from the brief time that we've spent, you'd be able to say, because I am in Christ, I am forgiven. Because I am in Christ, I am accepted. Because I am in Christ, I do not need to live in fear. Because I am in Christ, I can approach God confidently. Because I am in Christ, I can resist temptation. Because I am in Christ, I have a purpose. Or let me finish with just a couple of wee points. We fight from victory. We do not fight for victory. We're thinking about victory this morning. We do not fight for victory. We fight from victory, for he has overcome. We do not work for acceptance. We work from acceptance. We do not become God's children by our efforts. We live because we are already God's children through faith in Christ. We do not fight for victory. We fight from victory, for he has overcome. We do not work for acceptance. We work from acceptance. We don't become God's children because of what we do. We become God's children through our faith in Christ and what he has done. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, "For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can all hold this verse true. For we died to our sinful self. Our life is now hidden with Christ in God, and the security that that gives us, that eternal security. Our position to be in Christ, that's a marvelous place to be. If you can read that, it means we're chosen. In Christ, we are justified. In Christ, we are forgiven. In Christ, we're adopted. In Christ, we're accepted. In Christ, we are redeemed. In Christ, we're secure. In Christ, we are holy. In Christ, that we are citizens of heaven. In Christ, we are children of God. In Christ, we're ambassadors for Christ. We've looked very, very briefly at four wonderful points. We've considered our position promised, what being in Christ actually means. We should understand that we're not merely followers of Christ, but united to him. That by God's grace, through faith in Jesus, we are united with Christ in his death, in his resurrection, in his life. Receiving forgiveness, receiving a new identity as God's child, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and every spiritual blessing necessary for us to live for God's glory. Our promised position. We've thought about our position perfected, our new position before God. We should realize that we are justified, that we are adopted, that we are accepted and seated with Christ. Our position perfected. We need to remember the privileges of our position. Position's privileges. We should realize that we are forgiven and no longer condemned, with direct access to God, safe in the knowledge that we are eternally secure. And pulling all that together, we should practice our position, living out our position with purpose, pursuing holiness, resisting sin, trusting our Father, and representing Christ. For to be in Christ is a wonderful place to be. There is no better place. Our verse, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. how we look forward to that day when we will see him with our own eyes, and that we will be in Christ, but we will be with Christ. What a day that will be. Let's pray. Our precious Lord and Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this brief time that we have spent looking at your precious word, Father. We thank you for the truths that are contained within it. Father, the truths that fill our very hearts, our very being of our person with joy, with an inexpressible joy as we contemplate what the Lord Jesus Christ means to us. Father, we thank you that as born-again believers, Father, we have such privilege of being found in Christ. Father, how we thank you for him. Father, we pray that you would help us as we seek to live our lives daily. Our witness and our testimony would be reflective of our position in Christ. Father, may our deeds, may our words, may our demeanor reflect Christ in all that we do. Father, may we reflect his glory as we seek to serve him as best we can. Father, we deserve none of it. We thank you that you are a great God, one who is great in compassion, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Father, we thank you that you took our filthy lives and have redeemed us and restored us. And when you look upon us, you see Christ. Father, may all we do reflect his character. May all we do be for his glory and be for his praise. Father, we thank you for this time together here this evening. May these thoughts, jumbled as they may be a word of encouragement and a word of blessing and even a word of challenge to us all as we seek to serve our Lord and Saviour with all our being and reflect in the privilege of our position of being found in Christ. Father, we ask this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.